This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast brought to you by ABSFAM, ABSFAM. Awesome shirts for awesome people. Check them out. ABSFAM.com. Preseason is in full swing. Team rosters are taking shape, players are getting up to game speed, and leadership roles are being defined. Speaking of leadership roles, the day and age of the old grizzled captain with life lessons and wise words and permanent 5 o'clock shadow, that appears to be over. Captains are being chosen younger and younger these days, and it's the latest who many consider to be the greatest, Connor McDavid, who has now eclipsed Gabriel Landeskog for the youngest captain in NHL history by exactly 13 days. I can't help but think that there was a little bit of thunder stolen here. I mean, sure, their season was going to start in 6 days. They had to pick a captain by then, but I know it was in the back of their head that, hey, they have yet another flag to plant on Mount McDavid. Don't forget, folks, that part of a team's strategy for branding has a lot to do with the players and their branding, too. That's why when somebody like a Ryan O'Reilly runs into a brick wall while getting a coffee late at night, it's a big deal. The brand is the player, and the player is the person who puts people in the seats, and they think McDavid's going to do it. By making Connor McDavid the youngest NHL captain in history, they've solidified their future and they've given the fans something to believe in. Believe me, Edmonton needs that right now. This is as good of time as any to tell you when you hear this sound, that means I'm moving on. It's random. It's ADD. It's me. From camp until opening night for the Colorado Avalanche, we ask a lot of questions and we try to get those answered before the season starts so that we know what we're dealing with as a team. And one of the questions would be, how's the goaltending going to be? And the answer is, amazing. The goalies have looked great, both Picks and Varley. Remember when our last coach left, what was his name? Patrick Waugh. Remember when Waugh left and everybody was concerned that somehow this was going to hugely affect the goalies? Well, it turns out Waugh wasn't actually that involved with the goalies. I mean, sure, they're on his team and sure, he speaks with them and talks to them, but he has goalie coaches. Behold, Francois Allaire. Now, many people think that maybe he was going to be pissed off that Waugh was leaving or he was going to somehow not be professional. I don't think that's the case at all. I think if anything, he may be benefiting from this too. It's all on him. It's him and his goalies. He is the whisperer. They are the student. He teaches them. They're the grasshopper. This is a good setup. The goalies are playing awesome. Sure, they're going to have dips like any season, like any goalie, but for right now, they're starting strong, and that's really what a team like ours needs, is a really strong start. And while we're here, let's break that down a little bit too. Semyon Varlamov is a great goalie, and you know what makes a great goalie better? When you have another goalie who's pretty damn good too. Could be great, we don't know. Calvin Pickard is definitely a starter, so for him to play a backup role with Semyon Varlamov means that Vardy's going to have to be on his game. This equals awesomeness for the fans and for the team. This is internal competition that makes everyone better. Now, if it gets pissy and they start beating each other up, maybe we have a problem, but right up until then, all's fair game and all is good for the team. And in a less substantial but still substantial manner, the play of Semyon Varlamov and Calvin Pickard combined makes somebody like a Jeremy Smith, who's playing in the AHL, San Antonio, want to be even better, because if you're not awesome, you're not going to get traded, which means you're probably not going to play in the NHL, unless we happen to lose one of our goalies in an expansion draft, or they both just fall off the earth. So for Jeremy Smith and Spencer Martin, it pays to be good. Maybe you're worth trading, maybe you go somewhere else where you actually play. Who knows? Now, I don't know about you people, but for me, my news channel these days is not 749 or anything on the TV of the doom and gloom world where if it bleeds, it leads. The things I care about have a lot more to do with substantial social matters, no politics, definitely hockey. And when it comes to hockey, well, you got to take it with a grain of salt. You never know. Sometimes Twitter is good to you, sometimes it's bad. But anyways, here's what I'm hearing. I hear that Matt Duchene actually separated his shoulder before he started playing in the World Cup of Hockey. Now, this is interesting for a couple of reasons. One, should a player go and play in such a tournament when they could get hurt and it could affect their team? Answer is yes, by the way. Things happen. But what my real first thought on this was, maybe that's why Duchene didn't get a lot of playing time in the World Cup of Hockey for Canada. Now, true, there were so many good players on there, and there are a lot of players who are better than Duchene, if we're being honest, but I really felt like he could have had a little bit more ice time. I mean, the guy managed a couple goals in one game, if I remember right. Clearly, you could put him on the ice here and there, and you could have a strong performance, but he didn't play as much as I thought that he would, and I kind of thought maybe it's just a pissing match between him and the coach. Maybe the coach didn't like him as much as he liked 63, a little brat. That's Marchand, by the way. I just try not to say his name out loud and fear that he might actually appear in person and somehow get traded to the Avs. Just really don't want that. But anyways, back to the Duchene thing. I really think that him playing in the World Cup of Hockey is important. He's a guy who seems to take a while to get going sometimes, and if he's doing it with the most elite players in the world, the guys who are the very best, then he's going to come in ready to roll, and we're going to have that strong start that I've already talked about twice in this podcast. It is so important that we start strong, because if we're going to fail at any point, it can't be at the very last 9 games when we're trying to get into the damn playoffs. For a team like ours with a brand new coach, we want to start strong, and if we're going to fail, we want to fail fast so that we can move on and get our systems solid. Beyond that, we have energy, we have speed, we have skill, and we even have some size now, so the future is bright, but not if you're constantly playing catch-up hockey. Speaking of ketchup, did you know that they sell ketchup chips in Canada? Not every Canadian knows this. Nobody knows the Canadian knows this. But for those of you who didn't know, yeah, it's a real thing. It's not that bad. It's also not that good. It seems like only yesterday I was standing with many of you outside of the Westminster Promenade Ice Center so that we could watch the Colorado Avalanche take on the Mighty Ducks and the San Jose Sharks in the Rookie Showcase. This was a rocking good time. It was really a good game, aside from getting hit in the head with the puck. And we saw a lot of the players that we're going to see trying to make the NHL roster. One of them who is going to make the roster sooner than later, probably, is Mikko Rantanen. And in this game, Mikko Rantanen got hurt. It looked pretty damn bad on the ice, if we're being honest. First, he grabbed his ankle, then he grabbed at his knee, and then he grabbed at everything, and he rolled around, and they had to help him get off the ice. This is not good. Hearts stopped. Mikko Rantanen is the closest thing that this organization has to a rookie sensation right now. Everybody else has grown up, believe it or not. Our young core has been in the league for a while. The idea of Mikko Rantanen tripping over the starting line of the season and not getting to play for quite a while, and maybe losing some of his mojo with a brand new team, a new coach, and a new vibe in the organization, that was a really crappy thought. So to see him skating, to see that he looks like he's going to be able to play in at least a game before the season starts, if not a couple, this is good news, folks. This guy is going to bring a real presence with size and skill to the game. And while we've certainly got our share of that already on the team, he does it in a way that makes people around him better, and that's always a plus for a team. It's good to see Ranty back. By the way, we call him Hot Wheels because everybody did his entire career. Try it on, see if you like it. Hot Wheels. On the flip side of that coin, there are a lot of players just trying to find a place on this team. They're just trying to find their place in this world, kind of like Richard Marks back in the day. One of those people is Andreas Martinsson. Martinsson is kind of a fan favorite. He's a cool dude. He's got the big wild hair. He likes to bang the body. He plays a pretty good brand of hockey, but it turns out there's like three or four other guys who do that too. And our roster is actually getting kind of deep. So to make this team, you got to do something more than just show up every night and play your game. You have to bring energy and you have to play the system, but more than anything, you have to not be a liability. You can't be the guy on the ice when the other team scores, at least not every single time. So for in this preseason, for Martinsson to put up a plus instead of a minus, and the plus minus is huge for him. Now, I didn't get to see the game. Thank you, NHL. Thank you, Colorado Avalanche, for not broadcasting a game you clearly had cameras at yet again. But from what I understand, it went in the net, and that's all that matters. That's a plus, and that's good for Andreas Martinsson. Last thought about Martinsson. I remember when Martinsson and Everberg were both on the team, and it was kind of a toss-up to see who was going to stick around. Nobody thought that both would. They brought a similar game, but I wasn't entirely sure that it wasn't going to be Everberg that stuck around, and I don't even know where that guy is now. I think that maybe he's not even in this country playing anymore. Either way, if he is, he's certainly not making a big ruckus, is he? So I know that it's super in vogue and super popular for everybody to go, preseason doesn't matter. But you know what? It does matter. Maybe it doesn't matter in the final points that go into whether or not you make the playoffs, but you're not going to get all those awesome points if your team is not up and running. If your vehicle to make the playoffs isn't running well and isn't sustainable and isn't strong and isn't easily repaired, you're going to suck. So preseason really matters. And it's where you find out what your pieces are, what your parts are, and exactly what it is that you can do. From there, you can game plan. But wait, I'm not done. You know what else it's good for? Chemistry. You don't know how guys are going to get along in the locker room or how they're going to get along at the bar or at the chop house or how they're going to get along on the ice. You just don't know. You're bringing a lot of people together, a lot of emotion, a lot of human, a lot of things that could go right, could go wrong. You don't know. You need to have these guys in a situation where you can play that out. This is sort of like a reality show. We're going to have people on, we're going to start voting them off, and the very end ones are going to compete to see if they can do something impressive. Or you could think of it as speed dating. This is a chance for us to get to know the people that we might do something silly with one night and have to spend the rest of our lives with. Maybe we don't want that. Maybe we don't want to have Rene Bjork's preseason child. Maybe we've decided at this point that, hey, we like that guy, but we don't want to be too committed. What I'm getting at, if you haven't put it together yet, is that preseason does matter. If you think it doesn't matter, you probably get your games for free, you probably sit in a press box, and you probably just need something to bitch about. But guess what? It really matters for a team. How they play, what they do, whether they make the playoffs. This is the beginning. We're going to see what happens from here, but without this, we can't start. Speaking of press boxes and people who sit in them, there's a man named Adrian Dater who put out a book recently called 100 Things to See and Do for All Colorado Avalanche Fans or something like that. If we're being honest, it was kind of a horrible title. There was about 90% things to know and about 10% things to do. Either way, though, the content was really good. The book was amazing. This guy has had insight that none of us have had. He said a lot of things that weren't very popular, but they were probably pretty honest and probably pretty true. Honestly, after reading this book and the 100 things that are in it, I have 100 questions. He talked about a lot of good Avalanche memories and a lot of things that happened, but the Avs have been here for over 20 years now. There's so much more that goes on even with that. He talks a lot about hardcore fans and things that they would know. Let me throw this one at you. Assuming that you've been into this team from the very get-go, and assuming that you are not, in fact, 18 years old, you might remember a guy named Alexei Gusarov. Goose. Goose was a super solid piece on the back end. He didn't put in a lot of goals, but he was the kind of defenseman that kept you out of trouble and kept his partner out of trouble. Goose was a really good player, a lot of character, and one night he went into the boards, I think it was against Detroit, and got checked pretty hard. And guess what happened? His jaw locked up, he swallowed his tongue, and the trainer had to run on the ice, and he just happened to already have this corkscrew kind of thing on his keychain for just such a situation that I didn't know could possibly happen. And he cranked his teeth open, stuck his finger in there, and pulled his tongue out. That happened on live TV, folks. Now, while that story isn't actually in the book, there are a lot of awesome stories just like that. There's things behind the scenes with Peter Forsberg, Joe Sakic, Patrick Waugh. A lot of things that you didn't think happened. Are you curious what happened to Drury? I was curious too. Why couldn't the guy show up for the 20th anniversary game? Why is he so pissed at the Avs? Well, guess what? I think after you read this and you read a couple chapters on Pierre Lacroix and his dealings with people, you're going to find there was a few guys who aren't sending him Christmas cards anymore. Now, I've always been an appreciator of Adrian Dater, not always a fan, and usually because he spoke the truth and he was right and I didn't want to hear it. But this has definitely made me a fan of Adrian Dater. He is a good writer. He speaks to people about the things they actually want to know. He's not just telling you something with a little bit of flair on top of it. He's telling you something that is real and deep and has a backstory on something that you only know from the surface of your TV. And for those of you who don't know, Dater does have a podcast coming out here pretty soon. I have a hunch it's going to be a little bit better than the last podcast, mostly in production quality. Either way, I'm really curious to see what he has to say on this podcast, and I hope that he uses that inside voice that he writes with a little bit more than that outside voice or the Twitter voice. When it comes to the written word, he is a great storyteller. Let's hope that transfers. If you count the rookie showcase, the Colorado Avalanche have been whipping up on California teams in the exhibition season. We beat both the Sharks and the Ducks to win the rookie showcase, and we have played the LA Kings once already in preseason, beating them 3-1. So when the Kings and the Avs meet up on October 8th for the Frozen Fury, well, let's just say I don't think it's going to be a friendly exhibition. I think that both teams have a lot of reasons to win, and I think the Avalanche really want to stick it to the Kings right now. Beating the Kings in this last exhibition game of the preseason would be like adding gas to a confidence fire. And lastly, before we wrap up this podcast, a huge thank you to everyone who's been sending in pictures and videos from the games. We've been championing this idea that people should crowdsource information for those who can't be there, for those who can't watch the game because it's not televised, or just for the people who want to see it from your point of view. So take your pictures, take your videos, and then send them to us, and we'll put them in a collection where everyone can access them, everyone can see them. Maybe you're a guy who likes to put together NHL edits. You can just grab these and roll with them, bro. It's all there for everyone. And if you would like to see some of the videos that we've gotten so far, check the show notes. We'll put a link there so you can check out the many, many clips that already exist. This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, absfam.com. It's not logo wear, it's fanware. It's stuff that you won't find anywhere else because it's not available anywhere else. It's only available at AvsFam, absfam.com. But wait, there's more. It's not just about the gear either. You're going to find the hats, the hoodies, the shirts, the stickers, all of that sort of thing. But there's also a boatload of free stuff. Maybe you need an awesome desktop to put on your screen or on your mobile phone. Or maybe you just need a coloring book so you can get through the day. We have cool stuff for free. Go check it out because you're awesome. Stay awesome.